Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1. Read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I'll read verse 12, and then we'll read together verse 16 in a moment. Verse 12, and he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now let's read verse 16 together. Ready? Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Thank you that it's obvious that your presence is here this morning. Father, please help us. We're a needy people. We're in need of your man of God to bring us a truth from your word so we could leave here a little bit more like you. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. May we be open and receptive in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The title of this morning's sermon may startle your thinking. After you've heard the sermon preached, the title will make total sense to you. I announced the title last Sunday. The title is this: I wish you could backslide. I wish you could backslide. Earlier, you read with Brother Bush from the story of Jonah. You've heard the story of Jonah over and over again, if you've been in church any time at all. I'll retell a little bit of it for those that may not be as familiar with it, and to remind all of us who've heard it time and time again of a few things I want us to see in this story. God, of course, came to this man by the name of Jonah, and he had a special task for Jonah. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach there. A lot of lost people needed to be born again. A lot of people needed to be encouraged. Jonah being a preacher, God thought, well, I'll give you directions. I'll tell you where to go, and I want you to go there. Now, Jonah was already a preacher. Jonah was right with God. Matter of fact, in verse number 3, it says, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What did that mean? Jonah was in the presence of the Lord when the Lord requested that he go to Nineveh. So Jonah had a good standing with the Lord. He was right with God at that time. Well, why in the world would have God ask Jonah to go preach a revival somewhere if Jonah already did not have some revival going on in his own life? God felt like, Jonah, you have something those people need. You take what you have with me and go share it with them. And so God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to help those people and preach to them. But Jonah rebelled against that. And Jonah went to Tarshish, not to Nineveh, another city. And the Bible says he fled the presence of the Lord. He ran from what he was doing that was good, and from what God wanted him to do. So here's a guy, he's right with the Lord. God comes along and says, there's something I want you to do. And when it came time to do it, Jonah said, I'm not going to do it. And he had been in the presence of the Lord. Now he's fleeing from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says he went down to Joppa. Now, I believe that every single word is in the Bible for a reason. There's no uh-ohs or accidents. If God put a word in there, he put it in there for a reason. And the Bible says he went down to Joppa. Boy,
He's going down. Now, any time you flee the presence of the Lord, your life is going downward. Now he goes down, the Bible says, to Joppa. Then it says, he got on a ship and he went down into the bottom of that ship. Sounds to me, he's fleeing the presence of the Lord. He's gone down to Joppa. He got to Joppa. Then he went down even deeper into the bottom of a ship because he is about to go down to Tarshish. He's running. He's running. The Bible says while Jonah, this backslidden Christian now, is running from the presence of the Lord, he's in a ship, he's out on the water, and a storm comes, and the people on the ship say, oh my, we're going to be destroyed. What in the world's going on here? Through one thing or another, they figure out Jonah is a backslidden preacher, he's a backslidden Christian, he's running from God, he's got his tail between his legs, and so they decide, we'll throw this fella overboard, and that way God will spare the ship. And they throw Jonah overboard. God had a ready-made whale, a big fish that came and swallowed Jonah. Understand, he moved away from God. He went down spiritually. He went down to Joppa. He went down to the bottom of the ship. And the next thing you know, he's going down into the bottom of the sea. And you say, could it get worse? Yes. He went down into that whale's belly. Down, 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 down. The Bible says, and of course, the whale got him a meal, but it was spoiled. Got him some backslider barbecue for the day, but when it got to his belly and started settling in there, there's nothing make you sicker than a backslidden Baptist. It became a Malox moment. That old whale said, "Whoa, yeah, woo!" Talk about a bad aftertaste. Nasty old backslidden Christian. The Bible says that that whale ends up barfing up Jonah. Then Jonah gets himself right with God and he starts going up, 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 up. He goes and he preaches a great revival in Nineveh. But Jonah was a backslider, see. He had been doing right and had been in the presence of the Lord so much that God handpicked him to go preach a great revival and turn a whole country around. But he got backslidden and he started going down, 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 down in his life. Again, the title of my sermon today is, I Wish You Could Backslide. What is backsliding? If obedience to God were likened to climbing up a mountain, backsliding would be after having climbed to a height of 1,000 feet, you begin sliding down to 900 feet or 800 feet. What is backsliding? If Christianity would be likened to the climbing of a ladder, backsliding would be after having stepped to the 10th rung on that ladder, you suddenly are no longer stepping up, but now you've stepped down to the 9th rung. Step down to the 10th rung. You have gone backwards. Instead of climbing up, you're going backwards. Instead of going up higher on that mountain, or at least staying where you were at, you backslid. You went down the mountain. Instead of stepping up the ladder, you're beginning to step backwards down that ladder. If obedience is like running in a race, backsliding would be after having accomplished running a 5-minute mile, you allow your speed to drop to a 6-minute mile, then a 7-minute mile, then an 8-minute mile. You used to be racing for God, but now you're just trotting along. Or you're not even trotting anymore, you're just walking. Or you're not even walking, you're just standing. Or you're not even standing, you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. But you slow down. See, backsliding is the decreasing of your obedience or your commitments to God. You can backslide in one area of your Christian life or many areas of your Christian life. You may be backsliding in one area. You may be backslidden in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, maybe in all areas. Somehow we gather this misconception that backsliding is where you plunge your life into this deep, vile, nasty, wicked state and it just shows all over you. That's not true. You could look as pretty as a peacock as far as your Christianity is concerned on the outside and be very backslidden on the inside. You could have 9 of your spiritual ducks in a row and be backslidden with 1 cooked goose. It does not necessarily mean that your total life of Christianity is in disarray. It could be that one area is not right. The title of my sermon, I Wish You Could Backslide. You see, what a strange title, Brother Owens. Well, see, you can't slide back from a place where you've never been. A mountain climber could not backslide from a height of 1,000 feet in a climb to 900 feet in a climb if he'd never reached 1,000 feet in a climb. A ladder climber could not backslide from the 10th rung up on a ladder to the 9th rung if he had never reached the 10th rung. A runner in a race could never backslide from a 5-minute mile to a 6-minute mile if he had never accomplished a 5-minute mile. I wish you could backslide in some areas of your life. I wish you would start doing some things for God so that the devil would have cause to try to stop you from doing those things for God. But you can't backslide from something you never did in the first place. You've never been obedient to step up and take a chance at doing something for God. I wish you would change your life for God so much that all would know if you backslid. Climb so high in your obedience to God that when you look down, it scares you the distance between you and the ground. Some of you stay so close to the ground, we couldn't tell if you fell or not. I want to climb high for the Lord. You know, I'll tell you something about what you'll notice about preachers. I want to climb high. I want to get up real high for the Lord. Tell you, the thing about preachers, see, they get a lot of attention when they make mistakes. Let me tell you why. Because they climb so high. The higher you climb, the more devastating your fall. Now, your fall won't be devastating. Your fall, you see, you climbed an inch. And when you fall an inch, nobody notices an inch. I mean, it's almost as if you're laying on the ground and you've barely lifted your head a little bit. Your fall's going to be like this. But I'll tell you something. You climb high. You soar with the eagles. You attempt great things for God. You determine to rise above the average. You decide that you want to go to new heights spiritually. You're dead tired of being mundane, average, playing Christianity, just fiddling with God, coming to church to pacify your social conscience. You start going up and up and up and up. And believe me, when you backslide, people are going to know it. That's why some of you don't want to go up. Now, I didn't say that I wish you would backslide. I said I wish you could backslide. I wish you would step up to greatness so that mediocrity would be backsliding for you. I wish that you would step up to the above average so that average would be backsliding for you. I wish you would step up to being totally sold out to God so that being partially sold out would be backsliding. There are all sorts of people here. You could not backslide from above average. Because you've never reached above average. You want to do as little as you can in your Christian life, just enough to soothe your own conscience. You might be careful. Your conscience may be seared. You may have a sick conscience that's not a good thermometer of where you're supposed to be for God. I wish you could backslide. Huh. Can you imagine a pastor wishing his people could backslide? I wish that everybody in here could tumble from an extreme height. Because that would mean that you had reached an extreme height. Now, I didn't say I wish you would backslide, but I wish you could. I wish you could backslide from having a daily consistent Bible reading time. The Bible says in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether they, those things are certain. Now listen, you can't backslide from somebody you've someplace you've never been. I wish you could backslide from having a daily walk with God and a daily commitment to the word of God. But you can't. Because you can't backslide from where you've never been. I wish that everybody in this church read their Bible every day of their life so they could backslide from it. But you can't. Because you've never been there. I wish everybody in this church would let the Bible become their guide for every decision of life. I wish that we would decide that all decisions and all aspects of our life would be determined by the Word of God, but you can't backslide from where you've never been. You can't backslide from the Bible dominating your family because you never let the Bible dominate your family, so you cannot backslide from it. What would happen to us if everything we did by this book and stopped using our own reasoning, our own education, our own thoughts, but we let that book make every single decision for us? When you don't, you're saying to God, I am smarter than you. I'll decide for myself. Well, you'll probably find yourself coming up short in some decisions because I think God knows best for you. We need to change some of the gospel hymns that we sing so that when we sing them, we're honest about them. We sing, I surrender all. You should sing, I surrender some. I surrender some. I surrender some. Some to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender some. How about, there shall be sprinkles of blessings instead of showers. Here's my spoon, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Instead of here's my cup. Oh, how I like Jesus. Oh, how I like Jesus. Oh, how I barely let Him into my life. I really don't want to go to church. I'll force myself to go by. Because He first loved me. Oh, when the saints go sneaking in. I don't want anybody to see me. I'm not going to march in the army of the Lord. Oh, when the saints go sneaking in. Oh, when the saints go sneaking in. I'll be ashamed to be in that number. Take my life and let me be. Onward, Christian reservists. You're not a soldier for the Lord. You're in the reserve. You're only going to step up if you have to at Christmas and Easter when things are really down, when you feel like you have time for God. You're not onward Christian soldiers. We don't want the Bible to be our God. You can't backslide from where you've never been. Never joined up in the army and went out to fight for God. just as I am, or just as I believe I am. Maybe that's how we ought to do it. Maybe we shouldn't sing the song just as I am, but just as I believe I am. I wish we could backslide. I didn't say I wish we could. I said I wish we would. I wish we could. What did I say? I don't wish anybody would backslide, but I wish you could. There's some lofty things. It would be an honor to have at least achieved or attempted. I wish you could backslide from having a daily consistent prayer time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. But you can't backslide from where you have never been. I'm not talking about you just pray over your meals. And the way some of your wives cook, I'd advise some of you to start praying. But I wish you could backslide from having a walk with God daily in prayer. I'm talking about just at church when I pray, or Brother Dewan prays, or Brother Owens prays, or Brother Bush prays. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you. You have a time that you spend with God every day of your life where you talk to Him. You pray. I was thinking of earlier today as I prayed. Same way I prayed the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that. As I woke up and I prayed for my wife, my three sons, and my daughter, and my daughter-in-law. And I began to pray for every one of my staff members by name. I prayed for their family and every employee of the church, and I prayed for their family. And I prayed for all 80 Sunday school teachers and assistants by name. And then I prayed for every bus captain by name, every deacon and every deacon's family by name. And the list just kept going. Prayed for my enemies by name. Yes, I prayed for you today. But you know, you can't backslide from where you've never been. I wish you could backslide from having a daily prayer life with God. When's the last time you had a prayer answered? I'll tell you a story. I shared it just briefly with the men at men's prayer meeting yesterday morning. My brother-in-law, Dieter Hans Karl Ludeke, passed away a week ago. My wife and I left. We went to be a part of the funeral. His wife had made the decision that another man would do the funeral. She said, if you would get up and say a couple of words and take all 5 minutes or so, I would really appreciate it. But I got to tell you the truth. I really wanted to do the funeral. I told the Lord. I said, I think I could help everybody. I'd love to do that funeral. He was a Vietnam veteran. Half his body had been blown away in the war. Had a Silver Star and a Purple Heart, and it was going to be a full military funeral. And I privately in my heart, I said, you know, Lord, I know I could help my family right now, and a guy that doesn't even know them can't help them. I'd be honored, Lord. But I guess I can't. My wife will tell you, I studied and studied, and I prepared a whole bunch of notes, and I'll tell you what I did. I prepared a funeral as if I were going to be the one that would take care of the funeral, and I knew I was getting 5 minutes, but I just sat down and I thought about him, and I wrote a whole bunch of things out and a whole bunch of things down. We left. We got there about 5 minutes before the funeral. When I walked in, the funeral home director said, Mr. Owens, you'll need to meet over here with this chaplain, and that way you two can get on the same page about the service today. I walked in. I said, sir, I'm glad to meet you, and I know my part. And I said, listen, all you got to do is tell me where you want me in the service, and I'll talk a couple minutes, and I'll sit down. I'll get out of the road. And he said, what? Now, I looked at my watch. It was about 4 minutes before the funeral. He said, I thought you were in charge of this whole thing. I said, what'd you do? I reached in the back of my Bible. I pulled out the full outline, the whole funeral service. I'd said, Lord, if you'd let me, I would, but I knew I couldn't. But I'm so overwhelmed with the desire to help my family and to give allegiance to a Vietnam veteran that had virtually given his life for his country and my brother-in-law. And the people around me were startled when he said, I don't plan anything. I said, that's okay. I said, I'll tell you when it's your turn to talk. ...21-gun salute, the presenting of the colors to the bride, if you will. Went out and talked to the military man. I said, fellas, this is how we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. You know your part. Yes, sir. And we went back and forth. Well, maybe not the best funeral I've ever done, but I'll tell you this, God was there. It was just a little request that I had of God. Let me ask you, you know something? You can't backslide from where you've never been. You ever really walk with God and I mean pray to where you got a hold of God? No, that's just for everybody else. Let me ask you, ma'am, can you stand and testify to me right now of having a time in your life where you got on your face with God and you prayed and you got a hold of Him and you received things from Him and you got close to Him and it became a tight relationship? Can you? Boy, I wish you could backslide. I wish you could backslide from being a soul winner. Mark 16:15 says, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But you know what? You can't backslide from where you've never been. I wish that you told people about the Savior on a regular basis and told them how to be born again and told them how to be saved. And just so you know, that's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise, and will go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that his house might be filled. But you can't backslide from where you've never been. I wish you could backslide. I wish that you would become a soul winner so you could qualify to backslide from it. But you can't. You've never been a soul winner. That's never been your concern. And here's the scary part for a few of you. Not only have you never been a soul winner, you've already decided you never will be. You've already decided that. I'm not going to do that. That's scary. You know something, though? I wish for you today that you could backslide. I wish you could. Because for you to have qualified to backslide would mean that you had stepped up so that it was something to fall back from. I wish you could backslide from an excellent church attendance record. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I wish that those of you that come to church only during this church service, I wish that you could backslide from having a perfect attendance of Sunday morning church at 10:45. The only problem is you can't, because you've never strived to have a perfect attendance from Sunday morning church. And you can't backslide from where you've never been. You always find excuses to justify why you don't show up to church on Sunday morning. You can justify it. You can figure out your own little way. Devil brings something up. It's all okay. It's all good. You know, God loves everything, even unfaithfulness. But then, I wish some of you could backslide from having an excellent Sunday school attendance record. But you can't. Because you can't backslide from where you've never been. I wish some of you could backslide from having an excellent Sunday evening church attendance. Which you can't. Because you can't backslide from where you've never been. Hey, what do you do when we're having church that's more important than church? Could you write all that down and slide it under my door? I'd like to study it, because there's something out there that's more important than the preaching of the Word of God and church. Write it down, slip it under my door. I might want to get in on it with you. Maybe the whole church ought to come over your house and see what's so good. It's got to be good. I wish you could backslide from having an excellent Wednesday evening church attendance record. But you can't. Because you can't backslide from what you've never accomplished. I wish you could backslide. I wish you could backslide from loving your enemies. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." The Bible says we're to love our enemies. But you can't backslide from where you've never been. You have always been one of revenge. You've always been one that strikes out to hurt those that hurt you. You've always responded in the flesh, never in the spirit. So you can't backslide from loving your enemies because you've always had vengeance towards your enemies instead of letting God have it. So you can't backslide from where you've never been. Hey, could anyone say of you, "I admire him. He loves his enemies. I admire her. She loves her enemies." Or have they never witnessed that? I'd love to see somebody in here qualify to backslide from loving your enemies. But you can't backslide from where you've never been. You hear about the deacon and the pastor that couldn't get along. The pastor said to the deacon, "Hey, there's a dead donkey out there on the church's front yard." The deacon said, "Yes, sir, there is, pastor, and it's your job to bury the dead." The pastor said, "Yes, sir, I know, but it's also my job to notify the next of kin." I wish you could backslide. I wish that you could backslide from being loyal to your church and the pastoral staff. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." But you know something? You can't backslide from a loyalty that you have never achieved, accomplished, or experienced. You know something? But let me tell you something about my feelings about this church and this pastoral staff. I love this church. This is my church. I love this staff. This is my staff. I love it. I'm loyal to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I am loyal to this church. I am loyal to the pastoral staff. I am. I just am. I'm proud to be a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. But you know something? You can't backslide from something that you've never truly accomplished. Listen, I had a delightful appointment with somebody in the last couple of days. We talked, and I used a little terminology, and we talked about a variety of things. But one of the things I said was this. I said, and for those of you that don't know, maybe you're a guest, I took this church over 3 years and a week ago. I became the new pastor. So we have been going through 36 months of what we would call transition, a changeover. I said to this person that I was talking to, they are a part of the original group of folks from here, been in this church for, oh, I'm sure 12, 15, 18 years. And we were talking along in the last couple of days. And I said, you know something, there's coming a day when we have to face the fact that we're no longer in a transition and I'm the pastor. And this person, to my delight, said, "I decided that the very first day you came here. You're my pastor." Oh, how I needed those words. I can't use the term transition for everywhere, for forever. Do you know something? I decided something. This is my church. That's my choir. This is our staff. This is my congregation and my pews. And that's our organ and piano. And this is my place. This is it. Struggles come. I'm sticking around. This is my church. Let me ask you something, though. Could you backslide from your loyalty to the church and the pastoral staff? Some of you couldn't because you never did put your weight down. You can't backslide from someplace where you've never been. I wish you could backslide from your negative, or I wish you could backslide in regard to your tongue. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." But see, you can't backslide from having a good tongue until you've been there. You can't backslide from where you've never been. You know, you ought to get control of your critical tongue so you could backslide from it. But you never have. You always have something negative to say about everything. You have not submitted your tongue to Christ to the point that it's cleaned up. Hey, tell me something. Could someone, the day that you speak a little negative, could someone give you the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what, that wasn't her. She's not like that. Or do we say, you can expect that out of her. That's the way she is. The day you have the slip of the tongue, and all of us have our slips, we're humans, we're sinners. But the day that you're negative and you're critical, could everyone around you give you a free pass and say, you know something? That's just not like him. That is odd. That is not indicative of the true him. Or would they say, get ready. We're going to stand here and talk to him. He's going to have something negative to say. That's just the way he is. I would like you to be able to backslide in regard to your tongue. But you can't backslide from someplace you've never been. As you've never cleaned it up and shut your mouth and decided to submit your tongue and every word that comes out of your mouth to the Savior, then you can't backslide from pure speech. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth, which are the result of the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hey, you know what? I wish you could backslide from pure godly music in your home and in your life. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Listen, you can't backslide from where you've never been. I want you to pay attention right up here. I got a couple people that, young people that need to pay attention. This is church. It's not a dating game. It's not a dating parlor. You look right this way or I'll call you down and ask your parents not to let you sit like that again. You can't backslide from having pure music until you've been there. You can't backslide from where you've never been. Listen, you never have cleaned the music up out of your life that shouldn't be there. How can you backslide if you never arrived at decent, godly music in your home, in your life, in your car, in your tape player, in your CD player? I wish some of you could backslide. You can't. There are people in here, you've been listening to the wrong kind of music for years and years and years and years and years. You're not backslidden by listening to it. You never have gotten it right with God. Do not pay yourself a compliment saying I'm backslidden. You have never achieved in the first place. See, it is a compliment if someone could say you could backslide, because it means at least you put forth the energy to clean it up and to achieve a certain element of success. But when there's no obedience and attempt, there can be no backsliding. That makes sense to you? Are you all in shock at the practicality of the truth? Or are you mad at me? Or is it a bad day? Bad hair day? Some here do so little for God, you can hardly backslide. You can hardly get it done. You have made so few truly spiritual commitments. For you to backslide is almost impossible, because how much space is there between what you've accomplished and where you're at? It's hard to backslide when there's nothing from which to slide back. Why don't you start doing so much that the possibility of backsliding becomes incredible? We fear defeat. We fear failure so much that we're failures because of it. You know what? I wish you could backslide from a pure thought life. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God told us what we're to think about. But you know something? You can't have a pure thought life. Listen, you can't backslide from a pure thought life if you've never had one. You've always let the privacy of your mind be a place where you could enjoy self. You never have declared war on your thought life, have you? You want your thoughts to seem good on the outside, but let them run wild on the inside. You feel as long as you're not committing the sin, it's okay to practice it in your mind. You mentally entertain yourself with the sins that other people commit. You can't backslide from having a pure mind because you've never declared war on your mind and cleaned it up enough to backslide. I wish you could backslide from having good character, but you can't. You can't backslide from being on time because you're repetitively late and have never decided you're going to be on time and decide to become consistent about your promptness. Always running behind all your appointments, getting to work. It's habitual for you. Paying your bills late. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you showed up late one day in a year and the boss said, shit, don't worry about that at all. You're just always on time. That's not like you. But he has to call you into his office and say, here we go again. What's your excuse? I'd like to see you backslide from having good character, being dependable so nobody has to check your work. Could you backslide from being predictable? I'm not talking about being a predictable person full of negatives. Here we go again. I'm talking about being predictable in the good things of life. Nobody wonders. Nobody has to wonder if you're going to come through, going to get your job done, going to do what you said you're going to do. You're predictable. You're dependable. You're on time. Can you backslide from good character? Do you have the qualities and have put forth the energy and the effort to have risen above the norm so that when you do foul up and backslide, people say, that's not her. That's not him. Or is it always, yeah, we would expect that. Are you a person of your word? If you said you're going to do it, you're going to do it. Listen, folks, you can't backslide from where you've never been. I wish you could backslide in regard to your tithing. The Bible says in Matthew 23:23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Luke 11:42, but woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe. Here the Bible is talking about the tithe and our commitment to God, but you can't backslide from where you've never been. You never have been consistent about the way you give to God. Never have been. Listen, some of you, if your boss treated you financially the way you treat your God financially, you would quit your job and go get an honest boss. Well, maybe God ought to quit on you and go get him an honest Christian. Never have tithed on all your increase. Well, we've done it your way, when you want, how you feel like it. It's up to you. I'd love for you to be able to backslide from being right with God financially. Can you? I didn't say I wish you would backslide. I wish you could. I don't want anybody to backslide. I wish everybody would climb the mountain of Christian obedience so they would qualify to backslide in the area of their Bible reading and prayer and soul winning and church attendance and loving their enemies and loyalty and the negative tongue and the right kind of music and your thought life and good character and your finances. I wish you could qualify to fall from a tremendous height. You see, is this sermon all about those things? No, it's all about what are you doing with your life? You satisfied with where you're at? Is your backsliding this height? Are you flying high? Would your crash devastate Christians that said, my, he was flying so high for God? Would anybody even know? Where's old
so-and-so?
You know something? I'd rather you have backslidden from a lofty height than to have never been there at all. You know, there's more rebellion in not stepping up than stepping out and falling. Let me say it again. There is more rebellion in stepping... there's more rebellion in not stepping up than stepping up and falling back down. At least you tried. It's better to have tried something and failed than have tried nothing and succeeded. And a bunch of you are very successful at doing very little. Hey, from what can you not backslide? Because you never stepped up to do it. Maybe I didn't list yours today. I could go on all day long and give you the list of what Christians are supposed to do. I don't have time. But maybe I didn't touch on yours. Think about it for a second. Let the Holy Spirit, He's here right now actively working His way through the entire crowd. Maybe He could prompt you about what it is you should be stepping up so you could take the chance of falling down. I wish that you could backslide from having a Spirit-filled life. This is not available to those of you that are not saved. Now, if you get saved, you could have a Spirit-filled life, but you have to be saved to have the Holy Spirit inside you. But every one of you that's been born again, whether you got born again 2 days ago or 20 years ago, you got born again, the Holy Spirit of God moved into you. When He came into you, you got all of Him, but He doesn't have all of you until you surrender it to Him. Every moment of every day of your life, you should be walking in the Spirit. What does that mean? You're walking with Him. You are constantly observing what the Spirit of God wants you to do. Where He wants you to go, what He wants you to say, what you're supposed to do with your life, how you're supposed to do it, who you're supposed to be with, what you listen to, what you say. Every moment of every day, every Christian in this house is to be submitted to the Spirit of God. That's why God sealed Him down inside you. And I say to you, I wish that you could backslide from being filled with the Holy Spirit of God to the point where at least you could say, I know what it's like to have the power of God on my life. But you can't leave someplace you've never been. Let me ask you a question. You living a Spirit-filled life, and I'm not talking by putting some music on that makes you feel like you're in the Spirit so you can bebop around. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. You filled with the Holy Spirit, Christian? Do you do all that you do for God in your own training, in your own flesh, in your own way? You've learned to make it look like that's what Christians do. And you know, you've learned the routine. You've learned the language. But let me ask you something. Have you learned the Holy Spirit of God? And you walk with Him day in and day out. And you wake up in the morning and you say, Holy Spirit of God, lead me. Tell me where to go, what to wear, what to say, who to be with, how to do. How do you want me to do it, God, all day long? Because that's what He wants. It's called walking in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. But you walk in the flesh rather than the Spirit. Have you ever attempted? Have you consistently ever walked with the Spirit of God so He makes your decisions all day long? He says, Brother Owens, I have a hard time mustering up enough Spirit just to come to church. Well, you're missing something. I long that the Spirit of God control me. I long. When parts of my day I find my mind has wandered and I've lost that communication with God, I feel terrible. I feel destitute. I feel empty. And I grab myself and say, you've forgotten about him. How dare you walk 2 or 3 hours in your day and not think about him? But you know, you can't backslide from a height on the mountain that you've never achieved. I would to God that every person in that balcony could backslide from being filled with the Spirit of God. I wish every person on this lower level could backslide from being filled with the Spirit of God. I wish everybody on this platform could backslide from being filled with the Spirit of God. But you can't backslide from someplace you've never been. Oh, I've got good news for you. Thank God you can't backslide yourself out of salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't backslide down the mountain of salvation because you didn't climb it. Jesus did. Jesus Christ climbed a mount called Calvary, old Golgotha. He climbed the mountain. He died there, was buried there. Then he climbed up to heaven. Jesus did all the climbing in regard to your salvation. So you'll never backslide yourself out of salvation. And you can backslide yourself into an awful, miserable salvation, but you'll never backslide your salvation away. Once you get saved, you're always saved. So those of you that you've been taught something else, you've been taught something that's not in the Bible. The Bible's very clear. When you get born again and trust Jesus Christ, your sins are gone and you're saved. It's an eternal salvation and it is yours. But I'll tell you this. You need to get saved. If you're here today and you never got born again, we invite you to the Savior. And then you can start a journey uphill with the rest of us. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I'm going up. I want to go up. It's time for some of you to make it so you can backslide. Let's take a chance. Make it so we can backslide. Oh, now, of course, tucked in here somewhere is a lesson for those of you that are backslidden. Because you used to, but you don't anymore. You used to read your Bible consistently. You used to pray consistently. You used to win souls. There's a mighty army of people like that here. You're backslidden. You had reached the height of 1,000 feet in your mountain climbing of your Christian service to God, and right now you're at the bottom of the mountain. You used to control your tongue. You used to be loyal. You used to do all those things. You're backslidden. I would recommend that you'd rededicate your life and get back up that mountain where you belong. Some of you need to get started up the mountain so you can at least take a chance of getting backslidden someday. And everybody here has some area in your life where you're backslidden. Every single one of us. He said, well, I don't like that. As if it matters right now. So often we don't like the truth. Jonah, you go down there to Nineveh and preach. And he went down to Joppa, down into a boat, down into the water, down into the belly of that well, and while there, he realized where he had been, and I would rather you be able to go to the belly of the whale than to have stayed on dry ground and never have been up to where God has been using you. Listen, you need to make yourself available for backsliding. Oh, but good news. The old whale barked him up. Jonah came to his spiritual senses and he went and preached probably one of the greatest revivals in the history of mankind. I think the possibility of, I don't know, maybe 500,000 people getting saved. because he bounced back from his backsliding and got on fire for God again. The title of my sermon, I Wish You Could Backslide. But you can't backslide from someplace where you've never been. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.